glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, September 26, 2018. Well, you know, Jason, you're one of a few people that has the inside scoop on something that I believe God is up to, and I can't share it. It's killing me. I promised a group of people on Monday night I would not share it. They all were trying to throttle me back. I said it's hard to keep a secret, especially when I'm enthusiastic about something that I feel God is doing, and He seemingly is validating it. I don't want to commit to saying that God has endorsed it and said, go ahead. Even though things are falling into place, seemingly He's in it, but I always want to be really careful till I absolutely know. And there's still a few more things that have to be worked out. Yeah, this is one of my little cliffhangers. You're all like, what? What are you talking about? What's going on? What's new? What are you going to be doing?
They've been on this journey with you long enough to know how this works.
This is it, first ride. Probably or possibly on Monday, I'll be able to share some really exciting specifics. But at least for now, let me ask for your prayers.
At least for now, let me try and word this in a way where I don't give up the goose, because I will do that.
That's right. Well, I just want people to be praying about a new work of God with this radio ministry that I think has grand or exciting ramifications, blessings for those involved, for those that will be ministered to and touched.
Are you starting a television network?
No, it's not TV.
You're done radio, print. Are you into TV now?
That's right. That's the next thing. And so I just pray that we'll have crystal clarity on what God is doing, how to follow His lead, how to put the pieces into place, how to communicate it effectively, and then really just to climb on board and watch what He's going to do in the days ahead. But I think it's a very exciting ministry, a new addition to this broadcasting ministry, this print ministry. And if you, over the next few days, this next week, just be praying about what God may in fact be doing through Great News Radio, I'd appreciate it, and the team of us that are praying it up and planning it out and thinking it through, we'd covet that and hopefully sense and see and understand and know what God's doing, the timing of it, and that'll all just come together naturally. And it seems like many pieces are falling into place, but for now, that's all I can say, and I probably won't have it all ironed out till this weekend. So probably on Monday, you might hear some more announcements about it. So, it's exciting times. But I was excited when you got in here. You were talking about your experience last week with Bill Allison. I don't know. Do you want to go there or another?
Well, because we were having a conversation before we started about singing, about worship, and about, you know, what does the Bible say about singing? Because a lot of us would say, I think you mentioned, you know, many people will say, I'm not a good singer. I don't sing very well. Yeah. I've said that many times. I mean, I'm not a great singer. I can't sing. There are some people I get in the room with and I go, that person can sing. I cannot sing. Not in comparison. But God has given each one of us a voice to be able to make noise, to be able to lift up to Him, to be able to sing praises. And I don't think that God is necessarily concerned about the quality, you know, the intonation and the melody, as much as He is the heart behind it is that you're singing. And it just made me think in that conversation about Moses, you know, that Moses' primary objection to God is what?
I can't speak.
I can't speak. I'm not good at speaking. Yeah. I'm not good at talking. I stumble over my words. I have this horrible voice. How am I going to move the hearts of people? You need to get somebody else to speak for me because I'm no good. But in chapter 15 of the Exodus, what does Moses do in response to God's saving grace? God, in chapter 15, has delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. And what does he do? It says in chapter 15, verse 1, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. Hmm. And so you got this guy who declares that he cannot sing. He does not have a good... Now, he didn't particularly say, I can't sing, but he said, I don't have a good voice. I'm not good with my words. I stumble. I stutter. I'm no good. And then all of a sudden, he launches into a song. And it's not like, you know, it's not like Moses goes, you know, well, let's sing a song, you know, thank you, Jesus, the end. he launches into a song that is 18 verses long. Hmm. 18 verses long. And we don't know what this song sounds like because we don't have the music for it. We don't know what the tune was. We don't know if there was some real highs in the song or some real lows. You know, the bass kind of had to come up and the tenors had to launch off. We don't really know. But what we do know is that Moses sang this song. A self-professed, I've got no good voice, I can't sing, I stutter, you don't want to hear me sing, if I sing, prayer or revivals break out. He sings, and he says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. Listen, the reason Moses says I can sing is because the Lord is my song. It's not the quality of what you're singing, the notes and the tone. But it's who you sing to and why you sing and how you're able to sing in the first place, which is because the Lord is your strength and your song. And here we hear, he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him.
Personalized.
Yeah, my father's God, and I will exalt him. He says, this isn't even just my God. This is the God of my father. And by the way, Moses doesn't talk too much in the Exodus about his father. Hmm. His father, that faithful Levite who kept Moses off and hid him in the house until they could hide him no longer. He sings this song saying, my dad. You know what I think that Moses is saying here? I think he's saying, my dad taught me to sing.
And growing up in Pharaoh's palace, I wonder what kind of relationship. I've just never thought about what kind of father-dad, you know, relationship he had. Did he get to meet his bio dad, I guess, or
I don't know.
Far removed, and then, you know, how he lived his life. And then later on, is it Jethro that comes and gives him advice?
Becomes a father figure to him.
So,
But he says, you know, I'll praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. I think that the way it's sandwiched there, praise on one side and exaltation on the other, he's saying, my father's spiritual father's and biological father taught me how to praise. He says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea. His chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The flood covered them. They went down into the depths like a blues song. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. You know what this just makes me think of? Is that when you don't know how to sing, what you really want is the simpler song. Hmm. Like people who don't want to sing want like Jesus Loves Me.
No.
Jesus Loves Me. The non-singer can still in some way, shape, or form sing that song. I don't know about this song here. There's a lot of big words and a lot of deep thoughts, and yet Moses is singing this. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up, the flood stood in a heap, and the depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoils. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? I wonder if this was like Amazing Grace in these moments. Mm. You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. You have led your steadfast love, the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Your people have heard, they have trembled. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Not a lot of songs with the word Philistia in it. Now the chiefs of Edom dismayed, trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as stone. He says they're still frozen like stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by. Right here would be a guitar solo. Till the people pass by whom you have purchased. I will bring them in and plant them in your mountain. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode.
To heaven starts.
There you go, man. The sanctuary. Oh, Lord, which you have hands of established. The Lord will reign forever. I mean, this is a great song. And this is by a self-professed person who said, I can't sing. I can't sing. I can't sing. And this song isn't just about the heights of heaven, but this is also about the depths of struggling. This reminds me of James, where he says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Hmm. James says, if you're feeling cheerful, you ought to be singing. James doesn't say, if you are gifted in singing and cheerful, then sing praises. He says, you ought to sing praises. And sometimes I think that singing gets a bad rap because we in our humanity can say, well, you know what, I'm not a good singer, so I'm just not going to sing. And you don't get to get out of it. The Bible commands us to sing more than it commands us to do most other things. The exhortation to sing and to lift our voices up before the Lord, to give the Lord all glory in which He is due, and to do so. David, who was a man after God's own heart, sang and danced and played instruments in front of the ark as it was coming into the holy city. God commands His people to sing. Jesus Himself, after the upper room, went out with the disciples and sang with them. Mm-hmm. They walked along and they sang a hymn. The Bible says in the Psalms that God sings over us. He sings. The Revelation tells us the angelic choirs gather around the throne and they sing. There's nowhere in the Bible where singing is diminished to like, if you can. Singing is you ought to sing.
I think I told you this. Carolyn Todd, she's the worship leader at the Madison Avenue Free Methodist Church. I had a conversation with her at one point, and she said she believes everyone innately can sing and worship. I mean, she kind of just said it's just a matter of people pulling it out or helping them understand it or being educated in it. But she feels, I think it's kind of like that God-filled vacuum. We all have it. And she was saying, and it's kind of making sense, I've been thinking about it, that we all are called to sing. We all have the ability to sing. It's just maybe we're self-conscious or insecure about it, or we don't know the fundamentals or whatever. But she, and I think I do believe that now, that we all are called to sing.
Right.
And probably, yeah, you could do a whole study on how we're commanded to sing.
Well, and just think, so all the ways that we try and dodge what is our obligation. And I want to be very careful in using the word obligation. But it is. It's our obligation to the Lord to sing to Him, to pray to Him, to seek after Him, to study. These are things that the Bible doesn't say, if you feel like it, pray. If you feel like it, read the Word. If you feel like it, do these different
things. Yeah, like when you fast, like assuming
Just think about it. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, and when you pray. He doesn't say, and if you pray, and if you might pray. He says, and when you pray. Because for Jesus, it is assumed that you will pray. It is assumed by the Bible that you will sing. You will study the Word. These are not moments where you get to pick and get to choose what you want to do.
Non-negotiables.
Right, yeah, non-negotiables. But just think about how much of our faith life. I've been in rooms where somebody has said, hey, will you pray? And they go, oh, no, not really. And what is that saying? You know what that's saying to me more often than not is, I don't believe that I can formulate the words good enough to speak to God. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't care about if you can formulate the words good enough. You know, there's a story I tell many, many years ago. It was early on in my walk with Jesus. And I was part of this prayer group that would get together at this church. And there was about 40 of us who would get together to pray. And people would come in and come out. And there was this guy who was there who was always very quiet. In the context of this group, dressed a little more rough, you know, tattered kind of blue jeans. They were always dirty. He always wore a leather kind of vest. And just a rough-looking character. You could see the lines grizzled in his face of, like, doing life, you know. You know, people would get up and pray, and these were like praying people. And I thank God for them for what they taught me positively and what they taught me negatively. Mm-hmm. But these people would get up and they'd be like, oh, Father God, will you dwell in your heavenly abode? Father God, you know, and I'm being sarcastic only to make the point that later on I would think, wow, they did that thing where Jesus said, you know, don't get up with your many words and try to impress me. Instead, tell me what's on your heart.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people would get up and they would, you know, no, Father, you know. Yeah. And it was
a lot of thou.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a lot of big, long prayers of a lot of words. And I remember one time, you know, this guy was in this room a lot, and I always thought, like, I wonder what his deal is. I wonder what his thing is, because he doesn't really talk. And then one time, you know, we were having this prayer thing, and he got up and he goes, Lord, you know I think you're awesome. And I love when we hang out together. And I think that when we hang out together, you show me your love more than I even deserve. I just want you to know I think you're awesome. And he sat back down. That was it. That was like all. And even now, I get emotional. I get tears in my eyes because, for me, that was powerful. I go, the Lord didn't need his big words. The Lord just needed his honesty. Mm-hmm. The Lord just needed his honesty. And I got to think, too, that this guy, if he didn't feel that way, he would go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm feeling kind of crappy today.
Yeah.
Lord, I really just need your help. You know, I just feel like he would. That's what he would have done because his honesty was such. And I don't think that when we come before the Lord, we're always that honest. And I think we need to be. The greatest condemnation from Jesus to the Pharisees was, the inside doesn't match the outside.
No.
What's going on inside doesn't match what's going on outside. You know, you have all these big flowery words, but inside you really don't feel that way. And I talked about this on Sunday morning at our church. I said, you know, there's 400 to 600 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament where no prophet spoke. And church kept going on. The temple worship kept going on. The sacrifices kept going on. People kept gathering to sing. They kept gathering to do that. And I wonder if there was a point in that 400 to 600 years. We don't know because nobody's written this. This is just me speculating. But at some point between that 400 to 600 years where people just stopped caring.
Hmm.
They're like, you know, we don't hear God, but we still get to go to church. We don't hear God, but we still get to sing the hymns. You know, in Christ alone, even though I don't think, I don't care. You know, I mean, so I could check off my list. I went to the church. The Pharisees go, where were you? I was at church. Okay, good.
No.
Excellent. But Jesus says the inside and the outside need to match.
Mm-hmm.
The words that you sing from your heart, from the inside of you, doesn't matter how you sing them. It's who you sing them to.
What's that parable where there's like the wealthy person or the person, the Pharisee praying, and the guy who's in the back of the room?
Pharisee
cries
and the tax collector.
And
the Pharisee says, you know, I tithe the tenth of my mint and dill. You know, I go to the temple all the time. Man, I am so righteous. And he says, and I thank you that I'm not like that man, that tax collector. And the tax collector beats his breast and says, Lord, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
He says what's on his heart. So it reminded me of kind of a humorous video. We'll see if this works. If not, I don't know. It's on my phone. But whenever I hear this, and somebody had played this for me recently again, reminded me of it. And it reminds me of just that brutal kind of honesty.
I will sing of your love on Sundays.
Oh,
I surrender some.
Oh,
I surrender some. Jesus, I will give you little. I surrender. I stand amazed at my hair to.
Oh, geez. Oh, jeez.
Sing with me how great is this song. Man, I love to sing. Oh, yes. Just to sing this song.
Savior. Oh, God. How long did that go on?
It goes on for another about a minute and a half. There's some more, but I don't think we need to pound the nail anymore. I think
yeah.
The point is made. But see, just listen to that. I mean, they say, I love to sing this song. And you know what? I know people who say that. They say, you know, oh, man, I love to sing that one hymn. I love to sing that one hymn. No, no, no. Can I hear from you that what you love is to sing to him? No matter what hymn it is, if it was your favorite hymn or it was the one that you just don't really like that much because it's hard to sing or the words are difficult or it just hasn't touched you like the other one, but you don't care because who you get to sing to is more important than what you get to sing. Who you get to sing to is more important than the fact that you can or cannot even sing. It's who. It's the object of our affection. And friends, I think that what we end up doing is what they parodied there. We come and we surrender some instead of giving him all of our praise. The Bible commands us to give him all of our praise. And instead we stand amazed at our hairdo and how our nails match our eyes. We surrender some and we sing the songs we like to sing. And worship becomes a whole lot more about us and not about Him. I'll close with this. It was kind of a biting comment by Francis Chan a number of weeks ago. He said he was at a church. The church service got done and he was in the back of the room kind of greeting people as he does when he's at churches. And somebody came up to him and they said, I just really didn't like the worship today. And Francis Chan looked at him and he said, you know what? It wasn't for you.
Yeah.
And how true is that? We need to remember who it's for. Because when we realize who it's for, I think that more boldly will we sing, even though we're not good singers. More boldly will we pray, even though we perceive that we're not good prayers. More boldly will we read His Word, even though we don't quite understand it or think we're worthy to read it. Why? Because of Him. Not because of us, but because of Him.
Yeah, I was thinking about some people that will say, well, I can't sing. So what? So what if you can't sing? You're still supposed to sing, and you better start singing because you're going to spend all eternity worshiping God, you know, those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternity.
I had a friend who told me, he said, when I read that passage in Revelation, thousands upon 10,000 gathered around the throne singing hallelujah, worthy is the Lord. He goes, I'm wondering if this life that we're living in right now, if this is the audition for the big choir job that you're going to get in heaven.
Yeah.
And you know how God picks. I mean, just think, He walked up out the Sea of Galilee and picked a bunch of dirty, nasty fishermen to follow Him. So you who has that squeaky voice, who can't quite hit the notes, I guarantee you God's going to go, that's the one I want.
Front row.
He has a solo. I got a solo in mind for Him.
Happy. Preparing now. But I think it doesn't allow any of us off the hook, whether we can keep pitch. And I think of some of the singing men in the past. There was a couple guys, I won't name names, but they were like in the back row and they would swing their arms and sing out and they were flat and off key. But I got to tell you, the audience, because he was so worshipful in just how he presented and excited, and it was a lesson to some of us, or maybe all of us. And I'm case in point. I couldn't read music. I mean, God had me raise up the singing men of GNN was definitely His whole thing, because I'd never been in music.
It's Balaam's donkey, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I still marvel that he will use people that don't have those skills. But regardless, you know, if you can't sing today, maybe you're insecure of your sound. Don't let that inhibit or keep you from worshiping. And maybe you need some instruction or some pointers or whatever. Come join the singing men of GNN or find others that sing. But, you know, sing out. Maybe initially sing out in your car. Sing out when you're alone. But still sing out. It's mandated. It's a practice. And you'll be blessed through it. And who knows, you might find that you have more gifts and strengths than you thought. All right, everyone. Sing a new song to the Lord. However it sounds, sing out. And I think He'll receive it kindly. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.